and welcome to the Love Meech Podcast. I'm your host, Meech. It is a billion podcasts to listen to, and the universe guided you right here to this one. So hello, welcome, welcome. There are 7.9 billion people in the world today, yet you met me, and this is not by happy chance. This is divine meeting, and may we guide each other well. Now, I am in this world, but I am not of it. On this podcast, you're going to hear topics about both the spiritual world as well as the earth world. My goal is to keep learning and evolving and spreading love. Hey loves, and welcome to another episode of the Love Meech Podcast. So on today's podcast episode, we are going to be talking about last names, particularly African-American last names, where they originate from, and have you ever thought about changing your last name? Let me tell you how this all started. So I'm a realtor now, and I've been looking up zip codes, just being more familiar with the area because I stay on the south side. So people are like, hey, I want a house on the west side. And I'm like, So I was like Googling Wikipedia, like zip codes in Jacksonville, Florida. And it brought up a map and all the zip codes is that, you know, yada, yada, yada. And I was looking at downtown, and it was given the history of Jacksonville, you know, as a whole, Andrew Jackson being the president, having, you know, lots of slaves. And I have always had pride in my last name. Like, I am a Jackson. I come from a lineage of hardworking, like men. Like, my grandfather was honorable. He had a Purple Heart. My dad's, this is an amazing, hardworking dad. My brother followed suit. Like, I really love what the Jacksons stand for. And my dad will always say, you know, my bond is just as good as my word. You know, my name is all I have. You know, if I don't stand by what I say, I'm no good. So just very, very honorable. And I was looking like, Jackson, yeah, the most slave, what? So that took me down a rabbit hole. And I kind of paused. Then my best friend, she had sent me a video. Let me tell you why this resonated with me. My best friend, we all went on spiritual paths, but we all went differently. I think I dug head first into eating right and being healthy and Dr. Sebi and, you know, nutrition and not being vaccinated. Like, I went headstrong and health. She went headstrong and the Yoruba and African lineage. My sister, she went down Egyptian. My other sister, she's so into the moon manifestation. You know, like, we all are on spiritual paths, but we just took different journeys. And she changed her last name. So instead of going by Marion Green, she goes by Akuwabi Yemaya. And I battle myself. Sometimes I'll say Marion, sometimes I'll say Akuwabi, but I really want to honor her change to her last name. And so when she sent me that video of the lady, she was talking about last names too. But she gave it from a different perspective. It was a family coming from overseas changing their name. So I want you guys to hear that clip.
I went for a conference. I was a speaker at the conference, and there was another speaker. And she shared this beautiful story about her name. And basically what she said was that she's Asian. And when she was a child, her family migrated to the US. And when they moved to the US, she had family in the US already. And her uncle came and he spoke to the family and said, now that you guys have come from Asia to the US, if you want to adjust very well, you know, if you want to, you know, have a great time here, if you want to go to school and nobody's teasing you, you're going to have to change your names. So in America, you can't use your Asian names, but you have to choose English names that people can easily pronounce. And then she said that her uncle gave her an English name. So she began to talk about how that incident impacted her and how it made her to have a certain sense of shame around her name and identity. She now began to speak of her name being stripped away from her. And as she began to use the language of her name being stripped away from her, I felt a bit uncomfortable. because I began to think to myself, okay, this lady is saying, you know, she moved from her home country to the US and then she had to change her name to fit in. Is that really stripping away of her name or is it assimilation? Because it seemed to me like, you know, what she had done, you know, was she had made a choice or her family had made a choice that in order for her to be safe, in order to, for her to fit in order to, for her to have a more comfortable life, they were going to align with dominant culture and choose a name that was more palatable to the environment that they found themselves in. So they had the privilege of choice. So in my thinking, her name hadn't been stripped away, but she had given it up due to assimilation. So, and that's how I feel, you know, I feel like, you know, with the stripping away, there is no choice. You know, the people that have their names stripped away, they had no choice in the matter, often with a lot of violence. You know, they were flogged, they were beaten, and their names were violently taken away from them. It's very different from someone who goes into a new country and wants to assimilate and be accepted. You know, there's an element of choice that is missing in one and is available in another one. So that's what I was thinking. And I don't know if I'm overthinking it or if you guys agree with me. So I wanted to share this story here. And I'm going to leave it up. So, you know, if you come in late, you can watch what I've said at your convenience. And then you can think about it. And then you can let me know in the comment if you think it was assimilation in terms of her having the choice of choosing her name or if indeed her name was stripped away. Someone says, Ellie. Assimilation. Saying stripped away is something else. It implies violence. They were here voluntarily. I totally agree. You know, they went there for, you know, a better life and they chose, you know, they had the choice of even choosing the names that they would bear. So they chose names that they liked. You know, it was something they did, you know, of their own free will in order for them to have a sense of safety and acceptance. So I do think it was assimilation, you know. And, you know, I really find it, I don't like it when we lump different layers and levels of grievances together. You know, I think it's always nice when we use the correct word for the correct situation that has happened. And it's really nice that you affirm what I'm feeling, that it's assimilation and not stripping away. Yeah. Okay. This is so interesting. I was thinking about writing about this topic too. Wow. Great minds think alike. This goes also for refugees who have to change their name. In her case, they gave it away. Excellent, they gave it away. It's true. I'm Nigerian, and I know a lot of Nigerians go abroad a lot of times, and their Nigerian names sometimes are difficult for foreigners or people of the global north to pronounce. So they change their Nigerian names, and they go for English names. In that situation, they cannot say that their names were stripped away. They sacrificed their names for the comfort of other people, or they decided to assimilate and take on foreign names. Excellent, yeah. I think you guys agree with me. You know, it makes me feel like I'm not crazy after all. Okay, yeah. If she was brought here against her will and then renamed, that stripped away. Well, the family migrated for a better life. And it was her uncle, from what I understood, who chose the name for her. But it was a suggestion, and she had the possibility to think about it and say if she liked it or not. So, in my opinion, I think there was consent. You know, there was consent on her part. So I wouldn't use the term stripped away. You know, her name wasn't stripped away, and she still knows what the name is. She still remembers what her native name is, what her indigenous name is. So it wasn't stripped away by any means. It was put aside. You know, they decided to put the name aside and to assimilate into a new culture and take on a new, you know, English name. I believe that was a choice. She is a child with no choice. Okay, that's one way to look at it, but we're looking at it more on a holistic level, not, you know, a familial level, on a communal level. But yeah, I get. Okay, so great comments. I just wanted to put this out there. This video is not going to be so long. I'm going to leave it. So in case you catch this live later on, let me know if you think this was a case of stripping away of her name, or if it was a case of assimilation, you know, into a new culture.
Okay. So did you understand where she was coming from? Did you agree, disagree? What are your feelings, thoughts about that? Here's my take. There are two different instances, and maybe many more. Maybe I've only experienced two instances with name change, and there could be many more. So I like to leave room. You can't act like you know everything. You have to leave room for things that maybe you haven't thought about. That's how you continue to grow. Okay, so the two perspectives that I have is, one, you move overseas, you move to a foreign country like she did with her family, and to fit in, especially with this Americanized culture, you choose to change your name. Now, with that method, you knew what your own name was. You still have roots and ties to your history. You know where you come from and where you're going, and you can live with the two if you so choose. The other scenario is being given a name that is tied to such treachery and continuing that legacy on, not knowing where you came from, you know, not having, like, names are powerful. When you look at name, like when you name, like in villages, African villages, when they name their child, they come together. They pray over that child. They name that child. They know what gift that child is bringing to the village. Once they figure out what gift that child has, they put them around people that can cultivate that village and let them be the best that they can. It's just, we have been just so disconnected. But anyways, so I think those are the two different methods. Now, not knowing, you know, not having a spiritual connection or meaning or value to your name other than so-and-so owned you. And, you know, I think they've taught us to, like, have a boy, keep the name going. It's keeping their name going, if you want to be honest. It has nothing to do with us. Some of us have Indian, Native American, Cherokee, Indigenous blood and roots, and our name is not connected to that. Some of us have African, Yoruba, Egyptian, you know, the motherland blood running through us, and have nothing in our name connected to those roots. People change their name all the time. People get sex changes, they change their name. People get divorced, they change it. People just are fighting for their life, maybe running away undercover, change their name. It is something that you can do. So when my best friend changed her name on her spiritual journey, I was like, oh my God, I never thought of changing my name. Now I go by so many names already. My grandma called me Toot. My family called me Toot. My parents will forever call me Jamisha because that's what they named me. My friends call me Mish. The babies call me Auntie Boo. In real estate, I go by JJ Realtrix. I go by Mish at Night. It's just so many different names that I go with. But none of them are spiritual. So I am thinking about that heavily. Like, what could be a spiritual name? And I know that I love. Oh, I do say love me. So maybe I kind of gave myself a name and just didn't put the two together. Love Mish. Okay. I did come up with that, love Mish. But again, it doesn't have any Native or African ties. And I only bring this up because spirit will have you doing things and you like, what is all this about? I don't went to the library and got African books. I got Egyptian books. I have Native books. Like, where is this going? So obviously something is pulling me and calling me to discover something. It's probably going to unlock a level within me. I know that I am a fighter. I have fighter in my blood for sure. But I'm going to keep going down these two journeys and see where they take me. So this particular podcast continued to take me by down the Native American, maybe both Native American and African road, and I'm gonna bring y'all with me. So we talking about names, you know, where they originate from, would you change your name, etc. So I went to lipstickalley.com And this was the question. For those with slave owner last names, would you change them? That was the question. The first person said, I had the discussion with a friend, and to my surprise, he was passionately against changing his slave last name. Calling the idea stupid, it would change nothing. So I asked, well, if it doesn't change anything, why not change it? Unsurprisingly, he could not give me a valid reason for why. He just kept insulting me. Someone else said, this continues. We collectively agreed that Confederate monuments and relics should be removed and schools should be renamed because it honors a racist past. So why not change your last name if you know you only have it because of slavery? Last names like Davis, Ruffin, Johnson, Smith, etc. are all names given to slaves to mark them as property. If the process was free, would you change your last name to something with a more powerful, positive meaning? The next person says, good points about the monuments and school names. I haven't even made that connection with last names. Here are some more points made on the topic. What's your slave name? Black to African movement. There's no doubt that most of our last names come from previous owners. People are so attached to those names, though, that I imagine most people won't want to change for legacy reasons. The next person says, this is an interesting topic. Even though I have an African surname, I am interested to hear some font responses who have slave owner last names. What would be the method some of you would choose to change your name? I love dialogue and conversation like this. Oh my God. The next person says, no, because my ancestors made it their own. We have many names attached to us as Ados, and each surname tells a story and has a legacy and a history attached to it that I am proud of due to my ancestors. They kept their enslaver's name due to wanting their family members who were sold away to be able to find them after they were free. I am thankful my ancestors kept their enslaver's name because it has allowed me to find them and reconnect with so many family members who were displaced due to being sold or disconnected after emancipation. Some of my ancestors did change their name and created or picked their own last name after emancipation, which I am proud of them for. But those who did, I have to say, trying to find more information about them has been so hard. I would recommend everyone to read this book. It will really open your eyes and hearts about what these surnames mean to us and why many of our ancestors decided to keep them. Help me to find my people, the African American search for family lost in slavery. And what I'm doing, y'all, and I'll open it up a little tab so I can circle back around to them. The other person says, nah, I'm more concerned with leaving a legacy for my descendants than caring about what they are called. Changing my name won't change what happened to my ancestors. My last name reminds me of how resilient, this is me, my ancestors were to survive what they had to endure so that I can have something now. The next person says, all names have meanings. I would suggest choosing a word that has meaning to you. Me personally, I feel connected to the original Hebrew language and meaning. As an example, Harut means freedom. Next person says, my last name is French because my dad's family came from Louisiana. I would like to know what it was originally. The next person said, I don't know what I would change my last name to, so probably not. If I could somehow find out the original surname of my ancestors, maybe that. Next person says, it's really your legacy. If you're carrying on something that was forced upon you, you can't change the original meaning of the intent behind a word, only the person who created it. Keeping your name won't change what happened to your ancestors, so why not change it? Yet the ancestors kept them so family would find them. But that was in the past, before internet and DNA websites. We live in a totally different reality, so wouldn't it make sense to do things differently? I like that. I was thinking about it, but I really couldn't find anything else that went with my first name. I gave up. And now stuck with this for now. Next person says, truthfully, that's a stretch. If I ever find the original surname, why not create a new legacy for your descendants in honor of your ancestors? I like that one. Finding the original name would be practically impossible, hypothetically, though it'd be cool. Yes, but they did that over 100 years ago. Earth evolves, animals evolves, and so should we. Now we find lost ancestors through DNA websites. We don't need to keep last names to find family members anymore. In addition, many adults have ancestors who built schools, communities, centers, and churches under each of their surnames. I have amazing Black men and women who did amazing things and were strong, amazing people. The surname is theirs. We understand how they got it, and it wasn't their fault. But they all have made their own. I refuse to look at it under a white or non-adult gaze. My third great-grandmother built a family church, which is still going strong. As well, as we have many family cemeteries where my ancestors are buried, I want to be buried at one of them. One of my great-grandfathers built the first school during Emancipation. The land is now a small park that bears his name. My last name is not a burden. The surnames are not a burden, of course. It's not shameful. At least it's not a shame that the Eidos has to bear. I agree. If I was from that culture, I would be ashamed of my history. I don't even understand. Okay, let me continue. Our legacy with any surname started with our ancestors. Our legacy with any surname started when our ancestors became freed men, women, and made it their own by choice. The next person says, no, it's our family name now. I share it with over 900 family members. Well, I'm married now, but I did share it with them. Next person says, not everyone is into DNA. Not everyone needs to do DNA. Many of us are okay with our surnames and the history their families' ancestors made of it. And slavery was not that long ago. My paternal grandparents were born in 1900 and 1902. They had my father in the late 40s. They both lived with their newly freed ancestors at one time. You are speaking as if our ancestors didn't have a choice to rename themselves after emancipation they did, and they decided to keep their names. You are assuming that the last names many adults have are not chosen by their ancestors. They did it by choice and for a reason, and I respect it, and I will honor their decision. So that was enough of that. So let me exit out. I agree with some of them, like thinking of Jackson from Andrew Jackson, like, no, like I despise it. But thinking of Jackson from my father, my grandfather, like, is I'm proud. So it's like a catch 22 for me. So now I'm going to www.worldlastnames.com. Most common African-American last names, Black last names. Africa is one of the largest and most diverse continents in the world. It has a broad range of languages, cultures, traditions, and ethnicities. So as you can imagine, African surnames are also broad spectrum. African-American last names, however, are a little different. The unknown history behind African-American last names. This history behind African-American surname isn't actually that well known, and it is a little upsetting. African-American last names are connected to a long history of slavery. When they were enslaved, African-Americans were given last names that belonged to their owners. It was seen as a way of marking the enslaved African-Americans as the property of a white family. So why didn't African-Americans change their last names even after the abolition of slavery? Logically, a lot of African-Americans hoped that by keeping their white owners' last names, they could be linked and identified by long-lost family members that were separated from when they were enslaved. The last names still hold to this day. They have a whole lot of history behind them and serve as a constant reminder of what their African-American ancestors went through. Listed in this article are the most common African-American surnames. The 10 most common African-American last names. In this shorter list, you can see the top 10 most commonly used African-American last names. Take a look. Number 1, Williams, the most and common African-American last name of them all. Johnson. There are almost 2 million Black people with this last name. Smith. You've got to have heard of Smith. Any famous TV show actors come to mind? Jones. Rakes in at number 4. Still popular surname. Brown. How many famous Black people can you name with this last name? Jackson. There's no guessing which famous family first comes to mind. Davis. Coming in 8th place, still a fairly popular last name. Thomas. Again, a popular last name and one you may well have heard of. Harris. There are almost 700,000 people with this last name. Can you name anyone with this last name? I can. Robinson. Coming up in last of the top 10, Robinson ties up this list. So I have a question. Did your last name hit the top 10? Mine did, but there's more. What are the most common Black last names? An additional 30 surnames for you to look through that are still quite popular among African Americans or Black last names. We have Taylor, Washington, Scott, Green, Thompson, Wilson, Moore, Lewis, Walker, White, Clark, Lee, Young, Mitchell, Carter, Anderson, Wright, Hill, Allen, Miller, King, Turner, Martin, Edwards, Coleman, James, Evans, Hall, Richardson, Adams. To read more common, I think that was it. So I thought it was pretty interesting. Did your name hit the second list of 30? Was your last name in that second list of 30? This is just so interesting, you guys. So let's just say hypothetically, you come from a lineage of maybe slave owners. You'll be able to look at the world and say, you know, my grandfather had slaves with last names Jackson. Look how many Jacksons there are in the world. Like, because, you know, they grow and they get married and they populate and grow and get married and populate. And they all stem, maybe, if they didn't just choose the last name, from that plantation. Like, that is wild. That is insane to me. I wonder if that's how they are, like, sitting around like, yeah. Like, who sat there and counted? Like, which one did they list? The Johnsons. 2 million Black people have a Johnson last name? So that family lineage from that plantation grew that big? Our families are bigger than we think. Our families are bigger than we think. Okay, so that was enough of that one. This one's interesting. BlackToAmericaMovement.com. What's your slave name? Where did your last name come from? If you're African American, it is probably the family name of a white people who owned your ancestors hundreds of years ago. Or it may come about as a kind of work your ancestors were forced to do when they were enslaved, like cook or baker. One way or another, we can literally refer to most of our last names as slave names. When people argue that we need to get over slavery, that it didn't happen to us or anyone that we know, few consider the impact it still has on us today. That among the many ways we still carry the burden of our ancestors, the most obvious is what we call ourselves. Back in Africa, was our last name Jackson, Johnson, Smith, Hamilton, or Jones? Were we the Nelsons, the Sierra Leone, or the Hendersons, or the Ghana? We may not have any idea what our names were before our elders were crammed into slave ships, but we can say with 100% certainty that the name we bear today weren't true names of our ancestors pre-slavery. I agree with that. Changing names. When most women get married, they change their last name to that of their husband. Some may hyphenate their last names, but they still go through the process of legally changing their surname. Or those who don't fill out the actual paperwork for a legal name change, their husband's last name soon becomes associated with them, just as a common everyday usage. I've also seen debate over husbands taking a wife's last name, which some do. I point all of this out to say that changing our last name isn't difficult to do, whether legally or by association. People literally do it every day. So why haven't we shed our slave names? That was great. That was so good. So let me keep going. I happen to know that through my paternal lineage, I share DNA with the Kobo, Akan, and Iwi tribes in West Africa. With the knowledge, I moseyed on over to Africa/facts.org to check out some names on their list of 150 common African last names. Didn't quite find what I was looking for there, but I learned a thing or two about African names. So I headed to Wikipedia to check out some Akan names. There I assembled a name that resonates with me and one I'm thinking about changing too soon. Ama Natoni Kwaniyo. Ama, because I was born on a Saturday, and many Africans choose names based on the day a child was born. It can also be shortened to Ami, which I also like. Natoni, mainly because I like the sound and the spelling. It also means advocate and hero. Kwayano, because my very dearly departed aunt's name was Quintance or Quino was close enough and unique enough to capture my attention. I'm weighing the possibility of changing my entire name, but in the end, I may end up changing only my last name. That is beautiful. That just encouraged me. This is what my best friend did. Akuwabi Yemaye. She definitely did the day she was born on. Oh my God. Okay, so. Let me see. This is so awesome, y'all. Okay, so that was that. That was cool. I'm gonna keep that one up so I can come back to it. Okay, so this is uncpress.org. Help me to find my people. It's about the book. Let me see if it gives me a little bit more about the book. After the Civil War, African American Place Picnic Information Wanted Advertisement and Newspapers Searching for Missing Family Members. Inspired by the power of the ads, Heather Adria Williams uses slave narratives, letters, interview, public records, and diaries to guide readers back to the devastating moments of a family separation during slavery when people were sold away from parents, siblings, spouses, and children. Williams explored the heartbreaking stories of separation and the long, unusually unsuccessful journey towards reunification, examining the inferior lives of the enslaved and freed people as they tried to come to terms with great loss. Williams grounds their grief, fear, anger, and longing, frustration, and hope in the history of American slavery and the domestic slave trade. William follows those who were separated, chronicles their searches, and documents the rare experience of reunion. She also explores the sympathy, indifference, hospitality, the empathy expressed by whites about sundered black families. William shows how searches for family members in the post-Civil War era continue to reverberate in African-American cultures and the ongoing search for family history and connection across generations. So let me just pause right there. I created an ancestry, and we were able to, me and my sister, we talked to my grandma and my great uncle and my grand uncle, and we were able to get a lot of missing pieces. So Ancestry.com is amazing, you guys. Sign up, and at least once you put it together, even if you don't pay monthly, it's there. Now, you may not be able to pull up the paperwork because you have to pay to see the paperwork, but once it's there and you got them names, it's there. We were able to go all the way back, of course, England. I know we all go back to England because, of course, they raped someone. And, you know, it is what it is. Whether you're African, Indian, wherever you come from, it's going to go back there. Just because that's what they would do, was a lot of mixing. Let me put a pin in there. So I had signed up for Ancestry. We went to my grandma's house and my sister wanted to see something. So I had signed up for it so that my grandma could see. And then I thought I canceled it, but I didn't. So when they billed me today, I called this morning. I was like, hey, can you cancel this Ancestry? I think it's like $20. I'm not using this. When I canceled it, it said that it would, okay, your plan has been canceled. You can use it until next month. Well, that would be fine if I was using it, but I'm not. So I called customer service to see if I could get a refund. The lady was like, no, you cannot. I was like, okay. It was very nice. She was just doing her job. Can I speak to a manager? She put me on hold and come back and say, okay, we can refund it. What she was trying to say is, you're beyond your refund policy. You know, we can't refund you. You just have to, you know, it's going to end next month. And when I asked for a manager, I wasn't even nasty. I was just like, Lord, let me just speak to a manager because I don't want to pay for something I'm not going to be using. Now, if it's like Hulu or Netflix, something like that, I know I'm still going to be watching, fine. Let's use it and pay for it until it ends. But this wasn't the case. So when she came back and refunded it, I was like, yes. I am so upset. I literally recorded this and it did not save. So what I was trying to say is, had I just told the lady, okay, you know, fine, I won't get a refund and left, I wouldn't have got a refund. But because I was persistent, and I know sometimes when you go higher up, managers are able to do what their superiors, you know, are not. And I was able to get my refund. So I've just been getting that message a lot, like, keep going, never give up, be persistent. So I'm reading a book now called Think and Grow Rich. And he's constantly saying, you know, visualize it. Think of it in your mind. Have a positive attitude. Work towards it. You know, we don't get to control the time, but as long as you hold that thought and you want it to be, it will be. So yeah, that's what that reminded me of. But we're going to go, that's the end of part one. This is probably going to take a while because I did so deep into this. So that was it for part one. Hope y'all come back and listen to part two. And I wonder, if you know that your name is tied to slave master, would you change it? Or if you're going on a spiritual journey, would you be led to change your name? Or, you know, do you hold on to the name that you have because of your family, not so much because of slavery aspect? All right, my love. So that concludes part one of Last Names. Let's talk about it. And I will catch you guys on the next episode. Bye. Look, child, Earth is ghetto. I'm trying to make this my last reincarnation here. So namaste, lovaste, always a vibe. Hi, babe. Thanks a million for listening. I hope you have a better than great day. I love you. Talk to you later. Mwah. Bye.